Paul Tonko, Albany was just delighted recently when Henry Johnson, posthumously, of course, was awarded the Medal of Honor. You want to tell us about that whole fight?
Sure. It's been many, many, many years. The local contingent of many black veterans had been working with various individuals in the federal government to secure this recognition, this Medal of Honor for Henry Johnson, who was a World War I hero,
yeah,
and who had really been selfless in his attempts to save his fellow members of the troops that were fighting at the time. He actually, I believe, ran out of ammunition and had to finish some of his protective work with a knife. So, you know, for years, people had said, what an injustice for this individual to not be recognized. We have to remember that sure. This dates back to the time when members of the military of color were segregated. And the segregation that befell the troops was pronounced, I think, too, in the recognition that several may have justly deserved. There were many, many social and philosophical ills to overcome. And I think that, you know, this recognition is so empowering, certainly to the memory of Henry Johnson, but also empowering to, you know, the African-American community, the diversity in our society, to understand that, you know, America fixes her mistakes. And this was a long-term effort. And Congressman McNulty before me was involved, and we were involved, and we were able to roll it into a bigger bill and get the language done. But it was interesting. Two people were given the Medal of Honor that day, and one of Jewish background and one of African-American descent. And
you think that was a deal?
I don't think it was a deal. I just think it spoke to the sort of discriminatory, perhaps, behavior that existed and that these medals of honor were justly awarded the folks, and I can tell you many from the infantry of black American veterans, African American veterans, were so honored by the work that was done because this was a response to their labor of love to get the recognition for Henry Johnson.
Well, of course, one of the two major ways into Albany is Henry Johnson Boulevard, which I take every day. And I think that this thing, this Henry Johnson thing about making sure that justice was done, became far more than one individual getting a medal.
Oh, right? I agree with you. I agree with you totally. It was about speaking to the impact that those that the situation nearly a century ago denied basically Henry Johnson what was recognition for acts of bravery and valor. And I think it does speak to a whole bit of our cultural weakness that now has been responded to by the approval of his recognition.
Talking about courage, let's talk a little bit about the Pope and climate change. I know that you've been an environmentalist all your life, all your political life. You've led the way. You've been the man. What do you make of all of this?
I think it's great. I think that, you know, Pope Francis' earnest efforts to address social and economic injustice are really moving the meter for many situations out there in government. And when he comes to visit later this year, I'm hopeful that a challenge will be issued and that we'll be able to move move forward with the debate, which has been just denied because people do not want to acknowledge the human contribution to climate change. And whether you want to accept that concept or not of global warming, climate change, we should see it as innovation. We should see it as job creation, because as we become better stewards of the environment, it necessitates, you know, research, which equals good jobs, good paying jobs, and it translates into you know, innovative application to much of the work that we do, the activities we require, creating, generating energy sources, doing it in a cleaner fashion, greening up our thinking. You know, the onus is upon us, and I think that the Pope, in a very global way, being a global messenger, has enabled the discussion to take hold now, and the debate hopefully will transpire that really moves the needle on this one.
Well, I'm a huge fan of this particular Pope.
I think he's incredible.
I think he's great. I do want to ask you, though, because there are people who are running for president of the United States, they're Catholic, they're politicians, and they don't like his message. And there are people who say he should keep his nose out of this.
Well, that's people looking for a comfort zone, I think. You know, denial will bring you to that point where you have to accept what 97% of the science community has said, that there is a man-made element to the global warming. I mean, people have recognized, whether they relate it to climate change or not, they have recognized that Mother Nature has taken some deep hits at areas that they represent, including this area that I represent. We are still paying for the impact of Mother Nature just a few years ago, but the damage to the utility infrastructure, the damage to the housing stock, to the erosion of prime soils for the farming community, to the shutdown of businesses, small and medium size, we know that there was a huge impact, an economic toll that is laid upon these communities, and people are beginning to recognize that there is this pronounced, to the naked eye, climate and weather disruptions, patterns that are causing us a lot of concern.
Yes, yes, Paul Tonko, I know that, and I think I agree with everything you're saying. It's just that there are politicians who think popes should not involve themselves in politics.
Well, I think he should. I think that he is a voice for the social conscience, and I think that he speaks for his block of the faith community. And I think it's not only appropriate, I think it's essential, especially when he believes we're falling so far short of what we can do.
When this Pope said, "Who am I to judge?" Those are words that I will never forget his saying. Mm-hmm. You know, that he wasn't going to be out there chastising people for their behavior. This was pretty important to me. I don't know about you.
I think, you know, the fact that he has this inclusive quality about him is very important. I think it's welcome. It's a welcome tone to many. And I think he is using that style to bring about, I think, a recognition of his leadership and people finding him to be very fair and open-minded about some of the changes we need to produce, including being better stewards of the environment.
It's really too bad, don't you think, that we elect older men as popes as opposed to younger people? You know, a guy like this, we would hope that he'd be around for a long time.
And he very well may be.
But if history is any judge, you know, nobody gets a free pass.
Right. But, you know, I think it's he makes such good use of his time at the realm, at the head of the church as Pope, that he's making just tremendous strides simply because of his aggressive, ambitious behavior, which is all for speaking to the good in us. And I think that that will enable him to get much work done because he is so steadfast in sharing his opinions and his beliefs.
When we come back, we'll talk to Paul Tonko the next time about uniform drug standards in horse racing.
Mm-hmm.